Coming to you on location from the great blue north that is Blue Mountain Village and Resort on the eve of Canadian Geek Christmas, otherwise known as Fan Expo Canada. This is Eric Anthony, the host of the Cave of Solitude, and finally, returning to the show, the amazing, the unshakable, the insane merc with the money, Lady J.
Speak to the people. They're chanting your name.
I just want to make clear that water situation, that fountain situation, it's not me. That's not me. I'm not making that noise.
It's. Tell them where we are.
We're
exactly.
Sitting,
paint a picture.
Sitting on the dock of the bay.
Ooh, you're singing to us this week. You don't know the rest of the words?
And just sitting on the dock of the bay. Wasting time.
That is elegantly put.
Right?
Yeah, it's absolutely 100% true. We are actually sitting on the dock of, not the bay, but pond.
Adjacent to the Georgian Bay.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes, you're right. So this is quite, I mean, we don't live in Vancouver or British Columbia where you get the nice real mountains, but this is not a bad spot to be taking in. Nice sunny, the clouds have just broke, the sun's coming out. We're sitting at the slope side of Blue Mountain. Pond, got the fountains going, people in their paddle boats. It's a great day.
It's been a great couple of days. Just hanging out, relaxing, making the most of it, challenging ourselves.
Yes.
Okay, I have abs of steel.
Do you?
I do. My arms are a little bruised, but that's because I didn't give up.
But your core is solid.
Solid.
Tell
those days at the gym paid
paying
off.
Yeah. That's where you've been all this time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're away from the show, you've been a gym mouse. I'm going to say gym rat, but you're not a gym rat. You're more of a gym mouse. You pop your head in and out from time to time when there's no danger.
Because I have a life. I have things to do, things to watch, things to pet.
Things to pet.
Yeah.
Can you be specific?
My dog, I have
that?
A black lab named Kobe. She's
okay,
a girl.
Okay.
Her favorite color is purple.
How do you know she's colorblind? How do you know her favorite color is purple?
I'm not speaking on sexual innuendos. People grow up. It's a family show.
It's a family oriented show. So tell them about your stay here at Blue Mountain Village, the BMV, my other BMV that I like.
We did the thing.
What? Again, you have to be specific.
We did the thing in the trees.
The obstacle course.
The obstacle course.
Thank you.
It's called Timber Challenge, something or the other.
Yeah, the Timber Challenge.
Where basically it's like skiing, but not.
Not.
In the terms of
difficulty
levels.
Level.
Levels.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I mean.
Yes.
You know,
so
you
green,
know how
blue,
green
black
is
diamond.
Like the bunny hill, blue is kind of in the middle, and black diamond is like you're gonna die. It's a death trap. Yeah, so that was the same thing. So it's like little things like getting from one element to the other, and you're suspended above, you know, the earth.
From the ground. Keep it simple.
And, so that's what we did. And I found myself to have enjoyed being a little nervous, living on the edge. Humbly recognizing that I have a certain limitations in the upper body area.
You did actually, I was very impressed because you didn't back down from any height. You didn't back down from any challenge. Even if it was a black diamond difficulty, you're like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot.
Yeah, and we did do the black diamond
stuff.
We did a full
black diamond course.
Yeah, we did.
We backed off on one of them because we saw that maybe by the middle point of this, we're both going to be...
Stuck.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So humbly recognizing that, you know what? This is challenging, but this doesn't mean that there isn't something else that we can do to still challenge ourselves. But you need to recognize when to stop because then you're going to hurt yourself. And it's going to be embarrassing, expensive, and, you know, a little bit of an inconvenience.
Yes.
Don't want none of that on the mini getaway. So
absolutely not.
We did that. Yeah.
At any point, to keep with the theme of the show, because this isn't a vacation review and critique of different resorts that we go to.
No, but that's what we did.
But at any point, did you feel like Batman? Or did you realize how hard it actually would be for a human to do what he does?
I have nerves of steel.
Okay.
I can tell you that much.
Okay.
Because when we had to zip across from one element to the other, and you know, you don't know if it's really going to work.
It's true.
Things can happen. And you know what I said to myself out loud?
What'd you say?
And you so happened to be around. Remember the Russian in Rocky 5?
Rocky 4.
4.
Ivan Drago?
Yeah.
Remember? He did.
When he asked him that question about
Apollo Creed? Yeah.
And he's like, he's in critical condition or whatever, right? And then what was his response?
If he dies, he dies.
Right. So yesterday, I was going to do this zip, and it was one of the longest ones. I think it was in the Black Diamond. No, maybe we're in the green. I don't recall.
It was actually kind of tricky, and we weren't exactly sure how to go. Because it may have been a jump with a zip, and you weren't exactly sure. Do I zip across this? Do I jump across this? And I said, I think you just jump. Or I forgot what it was.
No, but it was a long one.
It
was a long. It had to be obvious.
It was something with a little. It was tricky.
But you couldn't exactly like go off of it, right? You were kind of sitting, so you didn't know how to even take off.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's right.
3 left turns later. Let's get to the point here.
Yes.
I said, what are we doing here? How do we do this? And then you're like, what? And I'm like, you know what? If she dies, she dies.
That is what you said.
And then I took off.
You did.
I didn't even know if I was in right. I just went.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? Like, sometimes you just... Batman has no time. No. I mean, he thinks things through, obviously. But, like, sometimes you just got to do it and then figure it out later.
Do it.
So I did it. I did it multiple times.
Yeah, you did. You were awesome. I was very proud of you.
Thanks.
Even on the ones that I shouldn't have made you try, there was one particularly that I had to use all my upper body strength to do, and I, as I'm doing it, I'm like, you are an a-hole for going across this thing and now expecting her to do, and you did it. I said, you know what, maybe you shouldn't try this one, but you're like, no, just wait there. You put your foot on what you thought was going to steady itself. It was a little block, it was a rope. With a little block on the bottom, and you grab the rope, you put your foot on it, you're like, nope. You're just kind of.
I was hanging around for a little while.
You were.
And added pressure, there's like these little teenage schmucks behind me, kind of watching the whole thing. And I'm like, you want to help a lady out? Like, obviously it's not working. Stop judging me. Who are you? Who is you?
But you know what? Me trying to be a gentleman, when I got to the end of the course, and I'm watching you come through, because I can't really leave until you come over to the other side as well. I reach out to give you a hand, and you're like, no, let me do this. I got this. Every time. You were never like looking for a, hey, can you give me a hand? Hello, I'm just hanging here. Never.
Yeah.
You're like, thank you, but I'm not cheating this. I was very impressed.
Why does that guy look like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Because he's wearing a t-shirt that says fresh in the same font. And he's, yeah.
Got a haircut?
His whole outfit is like he's trying to transport himself into 1991.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Would you relive the 90s decade, if you could, as like a 33-year-old remembering what you're... I think certain things in the 90s would be hard to rewatch.
I would relive the 80s, I think.
Yeah, I think I could relive the 80s.
Not the 90s. The 90s can go on.
You know, there's something about the 90s with the inclusion of technology that ages it a lot more than the 80s does. For some reason, I don't know why. Even though in the 80s you watch television shows where people answer a phone that has a cord in the wall, when people start trying to use tech in the 90s, even in movies, you're just like, oh my goodness.
Well, that's the cell phones
painful.
Are the size of a brick wall.
Yeah. Like, it's true.
It's pretty.
You get computers that are smaller than the phones that you see sometimes in the 90s. Not Fresh Prince, Saved by the Bell cell phone, the Zach Morris. Where did he keep that thing?
I don't know.
Was it not confiscated?
How did we jump from the treetops to...
That's what we do here. This is the show about everything. Seinfeld is the show about nothing. We're the show about everything.
By the by, that Banging and Construction is a new restaurant that's being built right by the water here.
It's called the North Wind?
Full of alcohol.
Brewery? Not yet.
It will be. Yeah. It will be.
Well. We got you picked two perfectly good seats because there's no room on this specific part of the dock for other people to come join us. I love it.
I'm all about the
exclusive,
the exclusiveness, the non-populous, no encountering of people. I'm all about that.
So no fan expo for you.
You know what? I'd rather you put in the money what it would take for me to be admitted into this place and you take that and do with that what you will and enjoy it. I don't know if I can do the big crowd. I know I can't do the big crowds, but I wouldn't want to go and make it difficult for anyone. I'm doing this for you people. I'm staying home for everybody.
For everybody, but one less person to have to deal with.
This is better. This turns out better for you.
Now, how do you feel? Because you've been a few times to... like the single day events at Niagara Falls Comic Con, Toronto Comic Con in March, as well as Fan Expo for a Friday or I think we did Sunday in Niagara Falls, if memory serves. How do you find Comic Cons yourself? Is it one of those days that just drags on? Is it something like you could, oh my goodness, too many people? How did you find your experiences of them?
The panels are my favorite thing. I like the Q&As.
Okay.
I like the seeing something come to life. I really wish, though, that they would bring back the drawing on the projectors live.
So okay.
Like, I want to see them. I don't particularly like the, okay, we're going to start now. And like, oh, halfway. Can we please see where you're at now? And then it's like, ooh. And then they take away the sheet and then they keep going and then they show it again and it's like, ah, and then they take away the sheet and then it's like they're done. I actually like seeing their technique. I like seeing the strokes coming into becoming something. I really wish that they would bring that part of that back.
Yeah, that was it 2006, I think, when we went the first time and we saw
they did
that.
The Joker.
They did the Joker. I don't even remember who the artists were, but that was pretty amazing. But so the panels you're a fan of.
Yes.
And that's really the best part of
and
the
I feel
show.
Too, there's a lot of people in there, but you're compartmentalized. You know what I mean?
You
I'm
have
sitting
your seat.
In my chair, you're
right.
Sitting in your chair, no
right.
One's shoving, no one's pushing, no one's, you know, you have those eccentric people that like to make things interesting. But for the most part, people are respectable because they want to hear what the artists, what the people have to say, right? So there is some kind of, I find some kind of organizational appreciation in that aspect,
right.
Which is why I like that. But everything around it, surrounding it, you know, lining up for this. And I guess for people like yourself, I mean, that is the appeal of these things. You know, the search and the hunt and the encountering and the talking to people. And that's a part of it, right? But I'm not as much of a hardcore fan to do that.
Yeah, you're more into the watching the creative process unfold.
That's right.
You even like Artist Alley. You like seeing them sketch and draw and
love it.
Yeah,
love it.
That's what I my first couple years going, because I would always go for one day at a time. I would usually try to shop and find, you know, stuff for sale or deals and things like that. Feeling a little bit timid and nervous to go up to artists and talk to them or feel like I had any thing of value to ask them, because you know you don't know how irritated they are getting asked, you know, for the 100th time, like, what was it like drawing Spider-Man? Or
yeah,
you know, you want to ask them something of that they want to talk about, you know,
right.
Show them that you've actually you're well
something
read.
That even piques their interest.
Yeah, exactly,
right.
Exactly. And I think finally, after like this year specifically, not finally, but this year specifically, I'm more excited than ever because of the encounters and interviews that me and Martin have been able to have over Skype.
Mm-hmm.
It's given me a little bit more confidence to feel like I've talked to some significant creators and writers and artists and stuff like that where you feel you can hold a conversation with them and not be so nervous because they're just people.
Right.
You know, which is going to be a lot of fun to look forward to.
Right.
It's too bad you're not coming.
I'm sorry.
Because you, I think you would ask great questions.
I don't know about that.
No, you know why? Because we as fans in the know who read everything and know what they've worked on, we're always trying to ask them those like deep process, how's the sausage is made type of questions. Right. Whereas...
how the sausage is made?
Yeah. Right? Okay. but people who are fans, like yourself, but you're not as invested in all the continuity and the business of everything, you'll be like, so what do you like to snack on when you are drawing?
Yeah.
You know, what does your dog sit with you? What kind of music do you like? We kind of forget to ask those normal questions.
Human questions.
Human questions, exactly. Which I think you always bring, like, ask them this. And Martin's wife does the same. She has some really fun questions that you kind of think, oh, that's on the surface, that's silly. But when you ask them, they're like, oh yeah, you know what, I actually listen to this, or I put the TV on and it inspires me when I hear something on the news. And it's like, huh, if I never had Daff ask that question for me, the whole part of a conversation wouldn't have
you
been.
You know who I like?
Who'd you like?
Jerry Conway.
Yeah.
When I think one of you guys asked him that question, and he says that he likes doing his work at a coffee shop because he's surrounded by, I think, like people watching kind
right.
of thing, and the ambiance and the surroundings, that kind of inspires him and
yeah.
it takes his mind places, as opposed to, you know, let's say just sitting in your office and you
right.
have all these four walls surrounding you. There's not much room for creativity.
Right.
I mean, that's not to say that you can never do that, but it's nice to hear that, you know, people have a niche.
Yeah.
Or something.
There's the...
And I like hearing that because I'm like, oh, like, they're definitely just people. And now they're going to hit the dock.
Yeah. Paddle boaters don't know how to control the paddle boat.
Yeah.
Anyways, go back to what you're saying because we're watching the Titanic about to strike the dock here.
Anyway. Yeah.
You're saying Jerry Conway. Yes. You
yeah.
know what? That was such a thrill to interview him. Because there's these guys who, you know, you feel bad calling them legends because it makes them feel like, oh, what am I not, you know, I'm a bygone era. But they are legends because they've, other than Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, who, Jack Kirby today as we speak would have been 100 years old. You know who Jack Kirby is?
So he's dead.
He's dead. He died in the 90s. He was 84. It was 20 years ago.
Wow.
Do you know who Jack Kirby is? Going on a tangent.
He's a drawer.
A drawer?
Yeah, a drawer. He artist.
Yeah, because you said drawer, like it's a drawer.
No, I said a
but
drawer.
But it's also spelled like drawer. You're right. I just wasn't sure how you're pronouncing it. Yes, he was an artist. Do you know, like, not to test you, but do you kind of know why?
Because you know how much I don't like
you don't
that.
Like being tested. This isn't to test you, but when I told you who Jerry Conway was, you were kind of like, oh, he's the guy who wrote The Death of Gwen Stacy. Oh, he created The Punisher, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of like, wow, that's pretty...
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Do you have an idea of... You've heard the name Jack Kirby before.
I have.
You've heard it many times.
But I feel like I'm kind of like... You know how you say, hey, do you know who this is? And I'm like, it's Led Zeppelin. You're like, no. You always think it's Led Zeppelin.
No, you always think it's Van Halen.
Okay, whatever. And I think when it's actually Led Zeppelin.
Right, right.
Or whatever. So I feel like I'm going to mess
but you're
this
getting,
up.
You're getting the right answer. Like, I know you know who it is, but
you
you're
know
just
what I'm trying to
yes,
say,
it's
but
like
I'm
you got it right.
Doing it backwards.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby, yeah.
I want to say... Are you asking me who he drew? Who's he's known for?
No. Because you don't have to like, oh, he did this, he did that. You don't got to go through all his creative, like his list, his bibliography. But kind of why he's such a, his name is always brought up and why he's, you know, he was called the King, Jack King Kirby. And so for people to be now talking about this would have been his 100th birthday and all that kind of thing, why people are remembering him still.
Didn't he work closely with Stan Lee?
Yeah.
And then there was a kerfuffle?
Yeah, no one knows for sure, but very closely with Stan Lee.
Doesn't he feel like he should have been credited more for some of the artists For some of the creative characters and stuff, like he was should have been known more for it rather than the San Lee. There was some kind of drama.
Yes.
Yeah, there
right.
was man drama.
Yes, you're on the nose. You got it.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know the exact details. It's kind of like one of those he said she said type of situations. Mm-hmm. But you're.
And didn't he stop talking to San Lee for a while?
I think I.
Oh, didn't he become like some kind of recluse?
No, that's Steve Ditko.
Oh.
But you're on the right page.
Told you.
Very good. So Jack Kirby kind of not kind of.
I deserve a beaver tail for that.
Maybe later. That's a good idea. What beaver tail would you get, though?
Lemon and cinnamon.
No and hazelnut spread. Eh?
What do you mean? You know what? It's just, it's too... at the
too
roof
rich?
Of the mouth. Like, I can't, like, I feel like I'm just
when you're
stuck.
Out of words, you just make sounds. I like it.
Anyway.
So Jack Kirby essentially created the Marvel Universe.
He became a little bitter. Can we say that? Is that what it's kind of...
Justifiably
the
so.
The word out there is he became a little...
Justifiably so.
Right.
Because...
He had reasons to feel like he was... How he was feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you like... I'll go out on a limb and say if you like anything in Marvel and to an extent DC Comics...
He's responsible.
He basically created the comic book language as we know it. He's the one who created it.
So, question, is there anything at Fan Expo that's happening kind of like in his memory?
I'm not sure, actually. That's a really good question. I know that both Marvel and DC have been releasing a lot of centennial books, like celebrating his career. So they're re-releasing a lot of first issues of Thor or Fantastic Four or miniseries that are characters that he's worked on, one-shot issues of like Darkseid and the New Gods to celebrate all of his creation. So he created all of Darkseid and all that stuff in DC. So a lot of what you like in the Justice League is all Kirby stuff. Fantastic Four, Iron Man.
Is it just me or when you say Jack Kirby, I think of the big... pink balloon bubble thing.
No, it's justifiable because that was
okay.
You know.
I keep it every time you say it. That's what I see.
Yeah.
In my mind's eye.
I would too.
Okay.
You
so, were seeing things that
so,
were important.
Yeah. So, just the pretty much the landscape of Marvel and DC has all been heavily influenced by things that he did. Captain America, he created, during World War II, and then. He actually went and fought Nazis in World War II himself,
that's the guy
like
that...
on the front lines.
Yeah, wow.
So, and then he came back, and he worked at a time when artists were just getting like a page rate, and his output, his creative output at the time was 5 pages a week, I think, or 5 pages a day. I'm sorry, 5 pages a day. Artists today say they have a very tough time doing 1 page a day now. He was doing 5 a day. And he did things in comics. And you know how you when you see a fist coming at you and makes the impact and there's that effect
mm-hmm.
of showing that somebody's been hit?
Mm-hmm.
He came up with all of those visual language to understand what's happening. And it was his style of drawing anatomy was unconventional. And it's you look at it initially... And it's not that aesthetically pleasing when you first see it. It's kind of like, oh, the characters are blocky, and why is the arm this much bigger than the body? But as time goes on and you become more aware of other artists that you like, they'll all say that they were inspired by Kirby, and you'll start to see it.
Hmm.
So heavy machinery and all of like future tech. He came up with a lot of future tech that you kind of see today in movies or in even in real life. Stuff that he kind of saw ahead of time, like we're going to have something like this. They call him a futurist. The way Tony Stark is considered a futurist in the comic books,
mm-hmm.
Jack Kirby was kind of like that as an artist. And all he did was from his mind, he just drew it from one end of the page to the other. And all of a sudden, there was like a whole universe created. So Silver Surfer was his creation. Galactus was his creation. The Hulk. Iron Man. Captain America. What else did I mention? The Inhumans. And all these things now are on television.
Aren't they going to make a TV show about the Inhumans?
Yeah, they are. They are. And
so what, does his family get some kind of royalties off of this thing? Or is that the kerfuffle I think
that's before? Part of the kerfuffle that you were mentioning before. Because a lot of his original art pages were not given back to him, which they should have been. He wasn't paid any royalties when they were at a time when he should have gotten a little bit extra for his creations. It's like Marvel, he made it, Marvel took it, and did whatever they wanted with it.
Hmm.
Whereas today, you know, based upon what he went through, people have said, we're not going to let you do to us what happened to Kirby unfairly. And he worked that hard because he had a family. You know, he was just a hardworking guy and wasn't looking for the praise or the attention. He literally lived, he called his studio the dungeon, in his house in the basement, and he just went to work, and his wife would have to be the one to call him and say, all right, it's time for bed.
No,
but from a number two pencil, there was a funny meme that I saw last week where it said, in 1961, Stan Lee or Jack Kirby created Stan Lee. Because it was all of his imagination that essentially Stan Lee got credit for, because he was the writer and scripter.
So why doesn't Stan Lee correct that?
He's always said, he's always given credit to Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby and saying how much of a...
But do neither of these... Well, one of them is dead, right? But
does, one of them is dead.
Do they not really...
I think what happened was... Here's the thing. It's like being in a band, right? So let's say I write the music to the what we perform, but everyone remembers
let's
who
Let's get
the,
into their shot. Smile.
We're photobombing as we speak. Photobomb complete. So it's like being in a band and you got the guy in the background who writes all the music, who, let's say, plays the guitar, but then you have your front man who sells the band, and it's his, you know, persona and good looks and his way of dealing with the media that people are like, they always associate that person with the band. Mm-hmm. So Stan Lee, some people have said 2/3 of the credit should go to Jack Kirby, 1/3 to Stan Lee, because he has a big influence on being... you know, the face of the company and promoting it and writing and giving a voice to the characters. But the whole universe and the visuals and the ideas came from, they say, Jack Kirby's mind. So it's, you know, noteworthy that 100 years, centennial.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like comic books, you, without, even if you think you don't like Jack Kirby, you like Jack Kirby.
Huh, that's interesting.
Kind of thing.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, sorry to... go off on
no,
a heavy tangent.
I wanted to know. And I'm sure many of the listeners wanted to know.
Yeah. Can you think of a Jack Kirby creation or a character that you particularly like? Other than Spider-Man, who's probably the most popular character that he didn't outrightly create.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you say from Marvel is your favorite Jack Kirby creation?
From Marvel?
Yeah.
I don't know, because you said he did so many.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you just pick...
I know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Well, we know you don't like Iron Man. You don't like Tony Stark.
I really don't.
He makes you mad.
Ugh. Honestly, I really don't. I know he's fake. But he's like one of those imaginary people that I want to punch in the face. He's such a schmuck.
Is it Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal? Specifically?
Both. No, it's the actual Tony Stark Iron Man.
You just don't like him.
A person. I don't like him. I remember when I read Hulk Grey. He was just such a, like, ugh. Anyway.
Just wanted to get in there and rip his helmet off and just punch him in the nose.
Like, what are you without your little fancy high-tech suit? Huh? Please
Genius,
tell me.
Genius, billionaire, philanthropist?
Yeah, okay. But, like, there's a lot of people with money out there that are douchebags. That doesn't make you anything special. That just makes you a douchebag. So, I don't know. Can we not talk about this guy? He's already making me hot.
Okay.
I don't like it.
You know what? How about Cap? Captain America?
He's too goody-goody. I like him. But he's too... I like when Cap goes against the rules. To do the right thing.
And that's usually what he does. Because he's not an American stooge. He's known for not being a stooge. But he's a person.
But he's always portrayed, like in Captain America White.
Right.
He's always portrayed, at least initially, in the beginning, where he's the all-American hero. Like, follows the rules, stays within the guidelines, does things the right way. Very on the straight and narrow, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how it's always portrayed. And, but I like where he kind of goes against the current. I like when people go against the current, yeah. That sounds so deep.
Goes against the current,
yeah.
And you're in front of water. You're a big dork. So he's too goody-goody.
Like, you know, Mark Twain. You know, when he says, don't be afraid to do the... What? Hold on. Something about doing something wrong, but it's the right thing to do. Like, don't be afraid to be wrong when it's the right thing to do. Or don't be afraid to... It's an oxymoron. It blew my mind when I heard it. I was like, yeah, I get it. That's deep.
We'll name this episode what you're trying to say.
I don't even know what it is. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you go against that innate thing, like, this is what I should... This is what I should do.
Or this is what's expected of me to do.
But this is what I need to do.
Right. I got you. I understand what you're trying
to say. Right? And you're not necessarily doing things to be the hero.
Right.
You're doing it to benefit others.
Right.
And I like when he does that. But again, he's always like, you know, just the perfect guy. The exemplary one. The one that everyone has to look to because he's who he is.
Right.
And I think that's a false expectation for anyone to have. Like, I'm not nobody's role model. I mean, I'm not. And I shouldn't feel that pressure to be like, I need to live my life for you. I don't think anyone should have that kind of pressure. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You're so very quiet.
I'm trying to take in what you're saying, because you started off quoting Mark Twain, and then you did a 3 left turns. And I get what you're saying. But you like that Cap goes against the grain, goes against the current,
mm-hmm.
in order to do the right thing, but you find that he's still a little bit of a square.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So...
I don't think it's his fault. I think other people put him in that limelight that, oh, he's perfect. He's the one that we need to emulate.
Right.
We need to be him. We need to be the all-American hero.
Right.
And sometimes our faults is what makes us shine, right? Because we recall, now we see, like, you know what, you have this limitation.
But you overcome it.
But you overcome it, and that makes you even better.
Okay, so Iron Man is douche. Cap is... good guy, goody-goody, but you admire him when he goes against the grain. How about the Fantastic Four?
I don't care for them.
Why? What is it about the Fantastic Four? When you think of Fantastic Four, what comes to your mind immediately? Like, what is your basis of them? Of
the movie.
The movies.
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Based on that premise... I would have to agree with you.
All the movies.
Right.
Even the new one, and I didn't even see it.
Right. I have to say, I've never been a big Fantastic Four fan. But in the last few months, I've been binging Fantastic Four books.
That's great.
And listen. They're not the movie. And the family dynamic, the adventure of the team... It's a very simple story as far as what makes them work, and I gotta tell you, they're fantastic. Like, all pun, like no pun intended. When they're done well, they're really, really interesting, because you've got these characters who had something freakish happen to them, and they're the first team who did whatever they do without any secret identity. It is who they are. And they're trying to use their, what could be considered as, not defects, but, what's the word? Disabilities or freakish accident to help other people. But it's the family dynamic of a brother and sister, a best friend who's now a monster who has a lot of, like, there's a lot of, within those characters, a lot of personality traits and emotions that every... the common man reading that book we'll be able to relate to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
With Ben Grimm being like this tortured soul who hates how he looks and can't, you know, is uncomfortable in his own skin and is just trying to find himself again and to be able to love again, but he feels that he will hurt anything he touches or that he's too repulsive to look at. And it's a very relatable thing, even though we're not rock solid monsters who will break or will be like a bull in a china shop, but it's that feeling of not being comfortable in your own body. And he still has this desire to do the right thing, and the relationship he has with Johnny Storm is like two brothers who always fight but really, really love each other at the end of it all. And then you've got like the patriarch of the family of like Reed Richards, who's way too smart, that has to explain everything to a point where nobody understands. But it's just this dynamic. It's hard to explain without me being too wordy, but I really, really have learned to like the Fantastic Four. And I'm sorry that the movies have given you such a bleh, taste in your mouth about them. But
yeah.
Jack Kirby actually, they say, modeled the Thing after himself. Because he had that kind of voice. He always had a cigar.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like that, just the way he spoke. He was from Lower Manhattan, very, very tough neighborhood that was run by mafia and gangs, and he joined a gang as a kid and just trying to fit in with the world and make his way. So a lot of the Thing, they say, is based off of himself.
I feel like there's just too, I mean, when you say this, it sounds appealing, the whole family dynamic and, you know, the inner person and all that business. But I've also associated the Fantastic Four with being wordy, being long-winded, being too sciencey.
Yeah.
I just feel like it would just be kind of go over my head and I would lose interest quickly. So I don't think I'd ever venture into a Fantastic Four thing.
Adventure.
It's unfortunate because you're right. It sounds interesting when you say it, but
even for me, sometimes I read it and I'm like, okay, I must be stupid, but that's not the point of the story a lot of times. The point of the story is whatever it is they're going through, what it's doing to affect them and their relationships with each other and how they overcome that. And because the family expands. Reed and Sue get married. They
have
children.
So do you think it's more of like a
psychological?
Yeah.
There's definitely aspects of that. They're adventurers, right? They love to explore.
Right, but the fact that you're saying that it has so much to do with family dynamics and the relationships within that thing.
I think that's
what
makes it.
You think it has an undertone?
Yes.
on human relations?
Absolutely. And I think those
more so than the actual adventure itself?
Yeah, and when it's done right, they can make the adventure bring out that quality. So it's your imagination has no limits when you read the Fantastic Four, because that's what Jack Kirby was kind of getting to. Like, it was very, he loved the idea of mythology and gods. So he created a lot of problems that were just so huge. And when you see them on the page, it just took your breath away to think, wow, what an imagination this guy has to bring this to Earth in New York City. How are these four people going to figure out a way to do it? And as crazy and silly as some of the ideas are, the way they work together is, you know, so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And every 12 issues, someone on the team wants to quit because there's a squabble or a disagreement with how things are being done, and then they come back together.
Was that a little redundant?
It is, but it's one of those things that are hallmarks of the team. It's like Dick Grayson and Batman disagreeing on something, and then, you know, he's still going to rescue him. It's those hallmark qualities that make you be like, that's the way it should be. They shouldn't agree, but at the end, they're there to help each other. You know what I mean? So I've learned to love that creation of Jack Kirby a little bit more. How about Hulk? I think you have a soft spot for the Hulk.
I do have a really soft spot for the Hulk. It's huge. It's Hulk-like.
It's Hulk-like. How come?
I feel like I just don't like people being treated fairly, unfairly. I don't like people being abused for or taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they just want to be left alone. Like, just let people live in peace, you know what I mean? But when there's people out there that want to take advantage of you and your situation so that they can profit off of it or whatever, I don't like the misuse of people. It's not fair.
So you feel like because of that accident that happened to him, people now have this fear of him and they're just trying to destroy him. And they come to a
conclusion about him without actually knowing the facts, right?
Yeah.
And they view him as a threat and they view him as this terror and this thing that they have to put down. And really, he's just a scared person who just wants to be left alone.
Right.
He's a victim.
You feel that way?
I do.
Even though he does a lot of damage to the city and to people?
No, because I think people sometimes... I'm not referring this to the Hulk per se, but I think sometimes people do become destructive or react hostile in a hostile fashion because they're just trying to protect themselves, right? And you sometimes do things that you're not... that you're ashamed of or not proud of because you were kind of cornered. You know, any animal, you corner it. It could be a lovable little puppy. It'll come at you if it feels threatened.
Right.
And I think we all have that within us. We don't have to be a monster to do that. You do, but you come at me, you know, bad things will happen.
Right.
And I think that's just I just feel bad for the guy. Like, he obviously is not happy with his circumstances, trying to make the best out of it. But then you have people that are bullies, that don't like bullies.
Or scared of the unknown. They're scared of what they don't understand, so yeah. They try to destroy it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the Hulk is bullied.
It's so interesting when you take these little so-called childish things and you break them down. There's a lot of layers to them. And I think they were... in a way, they were given these characteristics on purpose, because at that time when they were made, superheroes weren't a safe bet necessarily to people. They weren't sure if superheroes were popular enough to print into magazine form again, because they kind of lost their popularity in the 40s. So when Stan and Jack were creating these characters and stories, they kind of made it so that, are they superheroes or are they monsters? Let's see how the audience decides. Do they like them? Oh, no, that's not a superhero. That's a monster. Because monster stories were in vogue. Mm-hmm. So the Hulk, the Thing, the Fantastic Four, they were on that fine line of they're monsters and possibly heroes. We don't know.
Yeah. And I think, too, I guess kind of following what you're saying, like, I think there's like a discriminatory undertone, right? Like, you see something that doesn't look pretty, so you're threatened by it, and it's considered like this ugly monster thing, as opposed to being like, what's behind that? What's behind that outer, that hard shell? Like, why is that person the way they are? Are they really a complete, you know, wretch? Or did something happen to them where they're...
In the case of the Hulk, he has, I think it's schizophrenia because of abuse as a child.
See, there you go.
There you go.
Like, there's so many layers to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all guilty of it. Like, as much as I'm like, no, I hate bullies and la la la, like, but we're all guilty of it. We all come to some kind of predetermined thinking of a person and feel like now we know them.
Right.
And we cast some kind of something over them and we leave them there. And then it's not fair. I think we should all give each other a chance to get to know each other a bit better. I think, and I you know what? As hard and as, like, let's say, scary and strong as the Hulk is and how monstrous he is, I feel a lot of emotion when I read his stories. Which is why I don't most of the time, because I don't like to feel all soft and emotional.
So we're not going to read any Fantastic Four. We're not going to read any Hulk, because it might make you feel too much. Cap.
No, I do.
You read Grey Hulk.
I get very upset.
But that's what it's supposed to do. it's supposed to make you react,
it's
right?
It's supposed to be an escape. Yeah, this but is it's too close to reality, and I can't handle it.
You just said comic books are too close to reality.
Yes.
How about...
Yes, I agree, 100%.
How about another Jack Kirby creation, which I slipped my mind, the X-Men. It's another one.
How about it?
How do you
I don't
about-
like all of them. Okay. I like some.
So he... The original team was Jean Grey, Cyclops, Beast...
And the metal guy. Colossus.
Not Colossus. No.
He wasn't in the middle?
He wasn't the original.
I thought he was.
No, the original was Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman. Got that. And Angel, guy with wings. Those
are
the first five.
The guy that was good and then he was bad?
Yeah.
Well, in one story, he was just a kid.
Yes. Yes, that one. Those are the first five.
That's terrible movies.
With Magneto and as well as... Professor Xavier.
I feel my abs right now.
Side note. Side note. Are you a fan of the X-Men concept? I think that's the one, if I were to say, if Dav J were to break down what the X-Men were representative of at that time.
That's about race.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was about basically an allegory of Malcolm X and, in the case of Malcolm X being Magneto and Charles Xavier being
MLK.
MLK. Exactly. So seeing it from that purview, would that be the one that interests you the most?
No.
No. Too close to home.
No. You want to know what it is?
Tell me.
Too many timeline changes. Too many things happening, and then parallel universes, and running into yourself, and it's too busy.
You don't like time travel?
I don't... I know it's cool because everyone says it is, but it's kind of like too much is happening.
Rather do without it.
I would rather just live in the moment.
You wouldn't want to redo it. If you could go back to redo anything, you wouldn't do it.
No.
You're scared of the butterfly effect.
I think I am what I am today because of what I went through. If I went there and changed it, I probably would be a different person. I probably wouldn't... Like, you know, I probably wouldn't like the things that I like today or have the type of temperament that I have today. That, however, I think could change. That could improve.
There you go. See, there are things you could change.
But I mean, it builds the person that you are, right? The things that you experience. And if you want, and you know what? Anyone that goes back in time to change something or alter something, that just means that you're not happy with who you are. And that's sad.
That there's where the story lies, right?
Right.
That's where the story starts.
I may not have everything I ever wanted. I may not have some, like, you know, spectacular title before my name and whatnot.
Like Daphne the Amazing?
But...
That's pretty spectacular.
That is spectacular. That's
The Amazing Lady J?
That's unbelievable. but I mean, like, in regards to, like, you know, occupational
right.
or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I may not... I may not be of a certain status in this world, but I'm content with what I have and who I am and the people that are in my life. And if I were to go back there, and I just think that that's a commentary on an unhappy part of your life that you wish you could change, and that is to me a saddening thing.
So basically, with everything we've just spoken about,
if it ain't broke, don't fix.
If it ain't bad, don't read it.
That is. Nail on the head.
Moving along. I was going to ask you about Black Panther, who was also a Jack Kirby creation, but...
He's cool. Never read anything about him.
Would you? I think maybe the recent Black Panther might interest you from Ta-Nehisi Coates, since you're all into race relations.
Race relations.
Yeah, you are big into history of racism. Even, like, lately, moving on to something that you're interested in and you put me on... the Nazis in World War II stealing people's artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Made me watch Woman in Gold.
That's right.
Starring Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds.
Personal belongings, artwork particularly, but yeah. They confiscated people's everything.
Yes.
Right in front of them.
Horrible. What made you interested in that movie particularly, Woman in Gold? Completely off topic from anything comic books, but we're a pop culture podcast as well. So tell us about Woman in Gold.
I like Helen Mirren.
Was that what intrigued you?
You
about
know, I saw her, and I'm like, what is? Is she? Is this the queen? Like, what? Yeah. What? Like, what is this?
Right.
And then I saw the word Nazis, and I was like, whoa. And then I was like. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'm like, okay, is this an actual thing that happened? Is this a story being told regarding actual events?
Right.
Was this a one person's experience? And then I come to know that, wow, like that time was horrendous.
In so many ways.
In so many ways. And you know what? I think a lot of people, obviously...
We know including about myself, the
obvious, you know yeah. about the obvious. You know about concentration camps. You know about, you know, the I was going to say the apocalypse. there's a word I'm looking for. The Holocaust. That's what I'm thinking of. So there is that. But everything that these people were subjected to, the humiliation, the abuse, and I never knew. And I don't like to be ignorant to history, and even though sometimes it's one of the ugliest things that you can encounter, I think it's important because then it does change your perspective on things. It does make you think twice about why certain things are the way they are now.
Right.
A certain people might be a certain way. You know, their characteristics, their personalities. And you know, sometimes you just gotta take a step back and just be like, wow, that actually happened. And you know what? And learn from that. Not in a global scale. I mean, I wish we could as a human race. But even if you want to apply something personally, to be like, you know what? I'm gonna be different. I'm going to act different, or I'm going to show appreciation in a different way. And not to be like, hey, look at me, but just to be that one act of change that can just make someone feel good in the moment. Yeah. I think that goes a long way.
Yeah. And it's so scary when you look back at history and see what these people were like and how they were almost spiteful and, oh, that's what your favorite piece of artwork is, or that's your favorite instrument. We're gonna take that from you on purpose to hurt you. To think today that there's people who still want to represent themselves with those ideologies and wave those flags.
And unbelievable.
It's shocking. But I'm happy I saw it, because for those who haven't seen it, it's a really, it's a cool narrative, because they show what was happening to the main character trying to, I forget the word. I hate that I don't remember the word. But bring back the piece of art that belonged to her family that was stolen from them.
Recover.
But there was another thing that they used as well when they were in the courts and everybody was making their case of what was taken from them and what they're trying to get back. Anyways, recover that piece of art that was known as the Woman in Gold, which was of her aunt.
And don't want to spoil it, though.
No, you don't want to spoil it.
You should watch it.
Yeah. But then it shows her memories of being in Austria as a young girl and a young married woman and having to make that escape from a city that was being overrun by supporters of the Nazi party. And just seeing that actually happened, that it's not just, you know, a story we tell to say, look at this horrible thing that happened in history. Like, people really, really lived through it, and to see it in action is, it really puts things into perspective for you of what people had to go through at that time, and how grateful I am to not have to have lived through that, and seeing your home being overtaken by people who didn't like
you. But
you
know what? The way the world is going,
it could happen again.
It could happen again. We can't be ignorant.
No. It could very well happen again. But and that's the point. Like, it's very sobering to be like, we can't have that happen again.
Yeah.
You hope it doesn't. And the other movie that it's not similar, but the narrative was similar to it, was Love and Mercy, with John Cusack and Elizabeth Banks telling the story of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys and seeing the creation of Pet Sounds, which was, I thought, very informative. And I've never been a huge Beach Boys fan. Not that I'm not a fan, but an informed person on the creation of that album.
You know what I think? I could be wrong. I could be speaking out of terms of it, but I don't think many people in our age group would know. I think we just know the pop, obvious Beach Boy situation.
Yeah.
But all the other things that happen afterwards, or what happened to them and all of that. Like, I found this very interesting. I was not at all in the mood to watch any of it. I was kind of like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And why is this being told in the way that it is? But I thought it was very well done. And I'm glad that, again, you know, sometimes being ignorant to something, not cool. Open your mind.
Yeah, you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes, but at the same time, you want to live life with appreciation for the context of why something was given the praises or the...
Notoration.
The what?
Is that a word?
The notoriety?
Notoriety. No, that's not the word either.
The adoration. What would you do without me?
Combined the two.
You could start your own language. Debonics. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Yep. We're going to write them all down. We've been saying a couple things this weekend that were like adding an extra syllable. What was the word when we were playing the mini putt?
I said subliminally.
Yeah, it's, you always say subliminally. And you said another
and
one.
And then I think...
Oh, the clouds were ominous. And you said they were ominous. Monominum.
Anyway, get back on track.
Getting back to the Beach Boys. But to see like the influence of...
These are eager workers over here.
They gotta be. They're on the job. So midweek. You made me take a day off of work this week.
See that duck? He went in full throttle. Bottoms up. Look at that.
I don't see
Simple pleasures. Simple pleasures. He's over there. Well, he's not there anymore.
He's not there. What were we talking about? Beach Boys.
Omnibus.
Ominous clouds. So the Pet Sounds from Beach Boys was...
Did you know...
Tell me.
...that the Pet Sounds... did not make all that much money, but was critically acclaimed
by
the critics. They loved it, but...
It didn't sell a ton of albums at
the time. That's what I said. When I say it didn't make money, that's what I mean.
I think now that's been changed. I think more people
have... I know. I said when it originally was made. Is that not what I said?
I'm not sure. We'll have to check the tapes.
Well, that's what I meant.
Okay.
At first, it wasn't a hit, and now it's considered to be one of the greatest albums of all time. Like, what, number two?
Depending on which magazine, but Rolling Stones. Yeah, I think Rolling Stones put it number two. And then...
Who knew? You know how many times I saw that album in the, at the record shop? And I'm like, what is this? Why are there goats on this album?
And you listened to it last week after you watched the movie, because I actually own the CD. What did you think?
Well, I've heard all those songs before.
Yeah.
I just didn't know the impact of it, you know what I mean, and what they and what was occurring while this album was being made. I didn't know the behind the scenes action,
yeah,
if you will.
So you mentioned behind the scenes action, and they say that the inspiration for that album particularly came from the Beatles,
the Rubber Soul.
You want to just talk about it? You're erasing me before. So what I'm saying, what I was going to get to was, would you prefer to just experience it yourself and like or not like something? Or do you like knowing like, hey, pay attention to this? Because you may not realize it to the naked eye or to the naked ear when you listen or look.
Both. I like finding something out myself. Mm-hmm. And then I like being... enticed
to look
further into something that I didn't know before.
Okay. Because sometimes you don't wonder, like, do I like it now because they're telling me that it's this and I gotta pay attention to that, and now I accept...
And, sorry, keep going. And... I'm kidding. Keep going.
Or do I like it because I actually like it? Do you know what I mean? Like, do I like... the Watchmen graphic novel because I actually see the genius behind it, or I've been told how good it is so many times that if I don't believe it myself after I've read it, then I'm just going to be, you know, what do I know type of thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I wasn't listening, but listen to me.
Sure.
So there's a part in this, what do you call this? That docu...
It's like a biopic.
docu-pic?
Biopic.
Biopic, where if had I not, what, over maybe a year ago, seen a documentary about a particular studio band. Studio session band.
Musician. Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but what I'm saying is if
you're
I hadn't,
spoiling.
if I hadn't taken interest into something that was, you know, watching this particular film
gave you context
and was like, I know what they're talking about. I know who they are. They haven't even said their name, but I know everything about this. And I felt educated. I felt informed. I felt like
makes a difference, right?
Yeah. All of a sudden I have, there's context to what I am saying. You know what I mean?
And you appreciate it.
Yes.
When you see it, the story being told, you have an appreciation for, oh, there's that musician.
And I know
that,
who they're talking about.
I know
about,
why they're working
and
this
I know
way.
Why they are, you know, not famous, but everybody goes and seeks them because they're that amazing. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, like, when that part when Brian Wilson said, he's like, have you ever heard of him? I bet you haven't, but, you know, he's great. And I remember in the documentary, by the way, it was The Wrecking Crew.
Netflix, you can watch it on Netflix. Great documentary.
I know why he said what he said, right? It wasn't an obvious thing, but I know why that was particularly shared in that film, because that was a thing.
And when you hear the actual Wrecking Crew talk about Brian Wilson in the Wrecking Crew
then
documentary,
that, you connect the dots a little.
There's a legitimacy to what you watch, right?
Yes.
Which it makes you appreciate what the movie is portraying more, because you know it's legitimate.
Really? It has a pom-pom on the top. What are you doing?
Maybe it's for religious purposes.
No, that's a toque for anyone that doesn't...
the Canadians listening.
Yeah, that's... Anyway, I got distracted.
These clouds are becoming ominous. Should we wrap this up before it rains on us?
I don't know, you keep asking me the questions.
Do you have any questions? Anything you want to talk about? You've been missing from the show, and people have been asking for you to be on the show.
I've been busy. Legitimately busy.
When can we expect you back?
Now?
No. On another episode.
Oh. Do you find people taking selfies to be... Why are you laughing?
You do not listen. I'm pretty sure you don't listen to me when we do this. I think you just have things you want to say, and like, you got the attention span of a fish.
People don't do they not have shame when they take us? And this is the thing, because there's so many nice things around you, and all you can think about is your face.
It's true. That's a good point.
It's more like a lonely
Sebastian Maniscalco. He said that, right?
He said that?
Yeah, he said that.
I think he's right.
Yeah. It is a lonely.
It's more of a lonely.
It's almost like...
Yet, there's two other people with her. That's vain. That was vanity, is what that is.
Have you ever taken a selfie?
Let me be truthful about this.
I think any selfies you've taken have always been you trying to show me what it is that you're about to buy.
That's why I'm thinking about this. If I've ever taken a selfie, it was to show you something.
Right.
Even like, let's say if I did my makeup kind of thing, and I'm like, Eric, I'm ready to go. Do I look decent? Here you are. Or even just like for you, like, hey, I'm thinking of you. Here's a picture of myself. But like, you look through my phone all the time. Do you ever see pictures of my face there? It's always my dog. It's always you. It's always scenery. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm going to say no.
Maybe in the early days of my Instagram account, I may have taken a selfie to be funny on a work day. But I can't bring myself to taking a picture of myself to post it unless I'm with my dog.
Look, and like, it's not to say that no one can take a picture of that. Go ahead. Be free. But, like, tell me a story about your face. Are you drinking something? Are you experiencing something? Do I want to scroll and see like 10, 20 pages of just the same pose?
Yeah.
With that duck face?
Or
not
the mirror
particularly.
Showing your workout.
And let me tell you something, like a real reality, you're getting unfollowed for that. But if you like, you know, have like a special drink that you want to share. If you want to tell me a story and your face so happens to be in the story, sure. I'm okay with that. That's no problem.
But yeah, selfies get you unfollowed.
I want to see the background. I want to see where you are, why, right. Why you're there.
In action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see in the moment.
Yeah.
Not your pores. Not interested.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. But it happens. Some people need to... Maybe there's no one to take a picture of them.
Maybe. Maybe that's the other thing. So we can't be that critical.
No, we can't. But...
We won't.
You know what? I unfollow the people when I look at their page. If they followed me and I'm considering following back, if there's... Out of the
Your personal page, you mean?
Whether it's my personal page or the Cave of Solitude page, if I see on that the text... Not the... The thumbnails... of what photos I can see of you initially, if 5 out of those thumbnails that fit on my screen are selfies, you're not going to get a follow back, because I know after those 5 on that first page, there's going to be a lot more scrolling down, and that's an unnecessary thing to have to see all the time.
You are a tough crowd, my friend.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Daft J, this was a very fun and impromptu conversation. Thank you for all your insights on the Hulk.
You're welcome.
And why you will not be reading Marvel Comics again. Which it is my mission to break it down. I will break you.
Well,
I shall break you.
You can try. I mean, isn't that what you say you like about me? Like, I say the thing that no one really wants to say. Who has a comic book podcasting pop culture situation? And all they do is say, I'm not going to read that.
Only you.
There you go.
But if it's Batman, you'll read just about anything.
Just about.
If I strongly recommend a one-off story for some of these characters, will you consider it?
If it's short. I'm not reading an encyclopedia. I'm not doing an omnibus.
I'm not saying an omnibus.
I'll go no bigger than a graphic novel.
Okay.
Yeah, or like a 6-issue miniseries kind of thing.
Like a complete story.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Mini, but there's more.
Thank you, Dav J, for joining me again and being part of the show. I'm sure listeners of the show will be happy to hear your voice again. And for those who've joined us for the last couple of episodes, because they've seen a bunch of creators on the show coming, making their way on. And they've been interested in the interviews. This is Daft J.
And you have no idea who I am.
This is Daft J.
Who is this broad that won't stop talking? Who bounces from here to here.
With the attention span of a gnat. She's my regular co-host when Martin Slam Duncan isn't around.
And they're probably thinking, oh no.
They're unsubscribing. Thank you everybody for listening. We will be back soon with coverage from Fan Expo. Please stay tuned. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Daft J, we will talk about the wrap-up of Fan Expo once the weekend is finished.
I hope those kids fall in the pond. What the hell is going on with this? What is happening?
Email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com and follow us on Facebook at Cave of Solitude.
Really?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Daft J, any final words?
Why is it here? Put it over there. Obviously, it can't handle unsteady footing.
Okay, before we leave, I wanted to give you a tidbit that I forgot to mention before about Jack Kirby.
Okay,
so in around 1979, early 80,
okay,
he was working in Hollywood, and he was doing concept art for a movie called Lord of Light for a guy named Barry Geller. Was doing a script treatment, adapting it, right? And he was doing designs that would be used for an amusement park in Colorado and all of these, like prepping for a movie that never got made. And a few years later, the concept art and all the stuff that he did, the movie posters, were used in a CIA Canadian caper that helped get people back into their country when they were trapped in Iran, also known as a movie that you know as Argo. Isn't that cool?
What?
So all the movie posters that they use and the concept art to say we're filming.
He was the artist behind it?
They used his art that he did for Lord of Light as that movie.
No way.
Yeah.
At first, I'm like, what is he talking about, man? No way.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
What a hero. He's a hero.
I don't think he knew that it was going to be used for that later, but they used art that he did.
Right.
Isn't that cool?
Man.
Yeah, Jack King Kirby.
Mind blown.
Also, his character, Dr. Doom, heavily influenced.
Oh, the bad guy.
Dr. Doom, the bad guy.
The Fantastic Four bad guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Heavily influenced what we know as Darth Vader.
Well, of course.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just a couple little factoids and tidbits that I didn't get to dispense on you before when you weren't listening to me.
I was just thinking about myself a little bit. I was trying to formulate my thoughts, but thank you for sharing. That's so interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Oh my goodness.
You're welcome.
Good night, y'all.